This is a download from the BBC. To find out more, visit bbc.co.uk/radio4.
To bring peace to the world is the highest aspiration, which is why the Nobel Peace Prize is perhaps the most prestigious award. Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King, Albert Schweitzer. The list of winners contains some giants. And now Barack Obama joins that list. Why? That is the question many people have been asking since the announcement was made yesterday amongst them Mairead Corrigan McGuire, who won it herself in 1976 for her work trying to end violence in Northern Ireland.
I think that it does bring into question the objectiveness and the credibility of the Nobel Committee. There are five politicians. Every other Nobel Prize, they have experts in those fields who actually choose who gets a Nobel Prize. Perhaps we really need to look at the makeup of the Nobel Committee.
Well, that thought is echoed in many newspapers this morning. Many commentators are saying the same. Let's talk to two of our own, both distinguished in their own rights. Christopher Mayer, who was Britain's ambassador to Washington, and Lord Malik Brown, who was a Foreign Office minister. You think it's all right, Lord Malik Brown?
I do. I think it's very early and it's premature and it's, in that sense, an unusual thing. But I suppose to encourage him now he's still got 7 years plus to go, is intended as some kind of investment in the peacemaking side of a president who's got a lot of other competing domestic priorities.
But surely it's to reward achievement, to recognise rather than reward both.
Well, you know, in a funny kind of way, the world is so asymmetrical. The role of an American president in issues of global peace so prominent that even a few speeches and opening up contacts with Iran, re-engaging in the Middle East, even these initial threshold investments that Obama has made have made a bigger contribution to world stability over the last 9 months, probably, frankly, than the very hard-working efforts of many full-time peacemakers in other positions around the
world.
And
bombing Afghanistan, for instance?
Well, you know, I think that Afghanistan is a war which has always enjoyed full UN Security Council support precisely because of its origins. It was against an act of offensive violence against the US. And in that sense, it's turned into a protracted, difficult struggle and there needs to be an end. But it is a legitimate war.
Christopher Mayer? Hello, Sir Christopher Mayer, can you hear me? We are having problems this morning. I do beg your pardon. I'm so sorry about it. Most irritating when it happens. Right, well, let's stay with you. We still don't have Christopher Mayer. The fact is, if you look at those people who have won the Nobel Peace Prize over the generations, they're the sort of people of whom we would... Not all, admittedly, there are exceptions, but most of them are those people of whom you say, absolutely, they did something. There is an achievement to their name. They have brought peace or helped to bring peace in a part of the world where it was needed.
Well, that's right, but many have been given it in mid-course. My old boss, Kofi Annan, at the UN, got it, but it came just before the problems of Iraq and before many other problems that beset him in the latter part of his Secretary Generalship. And so, you know, it's not something that you get as a kind of retirement gold watch. You often get it mid-peacemaking career, if you like.
Right. So, I was about to say we can now go to Chris Mayer, but I was told that he's gone again. Can you hear me, Christopher Mayer? No, he can't. All right. Yeah, that's true. But nonetheless, he had done things.
Absolutely.
That's the important thing. And Barack Obama has been there for 5 minutes. He hasn't done anything yet.
Well, no, I think that is a little tough. I mean, this is a man who inherited an American presidency that had put the country at odds with the rest of the world. And he's started to turn that corner
Point? Isn't that the whole point? Isn't that, this is what the critics say at any rate, isn't it the case that he has got it because he's not George Bush?
Well, I think he's very bravely embarked on a whole lot of corrective actions around the world, which amount to a massive series of U-turns on individual foreign policy problems compared to those pursued by his predecessor. And, you know, that's not easy to do in the United States, and it's not easy to do it on so many fronts at once. So I think it's, if you like, a reward for boldness. But you're right, it's not obviously not yet a reward for results.
Right, now we can go to Sir Christopher Mayer, I hope. Good
I'm
morning.
In the remote place of Milbank, million miles from your studio.
Well, can't expect to get a signal all the way to Westminster, can we? No.
Absolutely.
If you're on the moon, that'll be fine. Look, what do you think? Do you think he should have got it or not?
No, I don't think he should have got it. I can understand why it was decided, I think, back in February, that he ought to get it. People were swept by the power of his oratory and the hope that he inspired and the breadth of his vision. A few months later, it doesn't look right. And I think that the White House's political antennae deserted them here. They should have advised the president not to accept it. That would have been a terrific boost, I think, to his position, to say that he was humbled and honoured to have been offered the prize. But given the scale of the task that lay before him, he felt that he couldn't take it. Had he answered like that, I think he would have got all the kudos of the prize plus, whereas now I think it's working against him, and he may well find that as time goes by, it becomes a bit of an albatross around his neck.
But the question is whether or not it's damaged the prize, isn't it? Because the point Mark Brown was making is that there's nothing wrong with the prize, as it were, incentivising future good behaviour. I mean, it's an encouragement.
Well, it is, and there are precedents for this. I think those who have criticised the five, I think it's Norwegian politicians who have made this decision, as being contrary to the criteria of prize giving is completely wrong. One of the official criteria is that it should encourage efforts to bring peace. And again, as I said, you can see why back in the beginning of the year they would have made that judgment. So I don't think it damages the prize long term. There have been all kinds of controversial awards which people have objected to. So the prize will go on. But I think that if you look at the politics of it, the Norwegian politicians on the committee made a political mistake. And I think the president made a political mistake by accepting it.
But has it devalued the prize?
Long term, who knows? Can't possibly say. I think the prize's value goes up and down depending on who the annual recipients are.
And if not him this time, who should it have been?
I haven't a clue. I haven't a clue. All the newspapers have got all kinds of...
But haven't you got to have a clue? I mean, if you say they shouldn't have given it to this bloke, haven't you sort of got to say they should have given it to instead?
I would have given it to somebody who had actually achieved something. I think it's very dangerous getting into the realm of aspiration and encouragement, especially where the President of the United States is concerned. The Times leader this morning lists a series of very deserving people like Morgan Tsvangirai in Zimbabwe, who was tortured and imprisoned for his bid. And then there are all kinds of individuals working in Afghanistan, in the Congo, who, out of the public eye, are doing great works. They might have put their searchlight on there rather than on the President of the United States.
Well, a very quick one from you, Lord Brown. Who else?
Well, again, I think all those names that have been mentioned are genuinely works in progress. Last year, they gave it to a fantastic global mediator, Martti Ahtisaari. He's not a household name. He does exactly this kind of work as an ex-Finnish president. Occasionally, they've got to make a bigger statement, and that was the bigger statement. It was a vote for peace as much as it was globally, as much as it was a vote for Barack Obama.
Mark Malik-Brown and Christopher Mayer, thank you both very much.